Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
Feral Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the adventures of Danny and Mike. This is a live podcast. Let's get him out here. Mr. Danny Tamborelli. Tim. That's him right there. And Mr. Michael C. Marona. Drinking a Coke. There he is.
The Coca-Cola has taken him away. Wow, you got a scarf on and everything?
Yeah, I'm chilly.
Did Liverpool win?
Liverpool did win.
Look at you. I'm very proud of you.
I'm chilly.
Okay. You're allowed to be chilly, man.
It's a fall transition thing.
Your scarf is a fall transition thing?
Yeah.
Does Mother Nature know that?
No.
It's 60 fucking degrees in New York City. No,
that's the point. It's like we were all questing, and you had to get like 6 items to make the season transition from summer to fall. I just found the scarf.
Okay.
Wow. I already had the pumpkin spice latte. I had the shoes. I had this. I had that. But I found the scarf, and now it's fall.
I just want to call you basic. Is that how the kids use that term? Did I do that right? Yes. Hot damn. 35 my ass. Well, I'm a little chilly too, but that's because I've only just started eating solid foods today.
Were you...
Don't worry, guys. I was on a juice cleanse. It wasn't anything serious.
Oh, you didn't have dysentery?
No. No. No dysentery, but I... You know, when you start eating real food after not eating real food for a couple of days, it kind of messes with you a little bit.
This is an ongoing segment in the podcast called Danny's Digestion.
I don't know. Danny's Digestion? I don't like that.
That's just go with it.
Okay. Well, I'll go with it. Sure. Juice cleanses are fun, but they're not that much fun. But they can be fun if you do it right. So
anything is fun when you do it for 3 days straight.
Well, that's true. Day one was hard. Day two was like pleasantly surprised. And day three is like, I could do this forever.
You got there. You finally got there. I guess that's the point.
I finally got there. The hardest thing, though, is on the last day of the juice cleanse, if you go to the farmer's market at Grand Army Plaza and you can't eat anything because you're still juicing and you see everybody, you know, all the people with their different apples, like, have a slice of apple. No, I can't eat it, sir.
I did some dumpster diving back in the day. Not a ton of dumpster diving.
I don't know
diving.
How that relates to anything, but...
Because at the farmer's market, they have the compost drop-off. So I wonder if you, in a food-crazed state, was just like...
No.
Like zombie food.
The difference between composting food and free samples are the toothpicks. That's usually the one giveaway.
Or 2 weeks, to the difference between food samples and compost.
Yeah, well, that was hard. And even harder was because it's the...
Even harder was getting the toothpicks out of your gullet.
No, I didn't eat any because I was doing it for real, Michael. I'm not cheating. I cheat on myself. If I do that, you know, and I don't want to because it's important.
Is this like flying across the country to watch a football game just to leave before it starts?
Wow. Oh, a little political there, huh?
No, I mean, like, you went to the farmer's market to say,
I went to the farmer's market to get foods that I knew I was going to eat the next day in the days after that, because that was the last day of the juice cleanse.
Okay, I do have a relationship with my bacon dealer at the farmer's market, where, owing to my cholesterol numbers, I can only have 1 pound of bacon a month.
Okay.
And so that works out to 1 rasher per week.
Does he know you by name?
She.
Excuse me? Very wrong. I feel bad about myself now. Sorry.
She and I have actually worked out a version of Bone Thugs and Harmony, that first of the month, that's all about bacon.
Can you sing that for us right now?
Wake up, wake up.
And what? It's the first of the month?
No, there's some other lyrics that we've been working on, but I also get eggs.
Are you just, you're scared because someone's going to steal your idea for the bacon song? It's rife with parody right there.
Bacon dollar ideas, only on the podcast. She was great, and I got my bacon, I got a dozen eggs, and sometimes when I bring the kid, I go, that's daddy's bacon dealer.
Oh, man. Teaching them young, huh? Interesting.
I was trying to pull up the instrumental version of Bone Thugs and Harmony, but it's...
It's copyrighted, and we're moving. And
it's
we're moving on.
Not worth it.
I was trying to give Michael a platform.
That doesn't even sound like the song.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think that's
continue.
The karaoke version.
This is the chorus. Is that what you made up?
No, he said it's the first of them. Anyway, wow, we have totally derailed on Bone Thugs and Harmony and bacon rashers. I just heard rash, really. I get, you know, bacon rash.
And you broke out immediately.
That's true. Yeah, on my juice cleanse, if I saw bacon, I probably would have broken out.
Speaking of medical foibles, my son has hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Is that true right now?
In other species, I think that breaks down to hoof and mouth disease. But I think in a human, it's the hoof.
Should we close this place down? Are you contagious? What the hell? That's your microphone, and you get to take it home tonight with you and wash it.
I didn't say my son had hepatitis A. I said hand, foot, and mouth. You've been a while for the hepatitis
what?
Jokes. You did A, B, and C. You almost
no,
did
no,
for
no.
The cycle.
I was only
you
the CDC the spokesperson for hepatitis B from 1998 to 2000. Okay.
You were like
I've told enough kids across the country to get their vaccines. All
you,
right.
You finished third in the World Cup mascot balloting. You were Heppy, the adorable stuffed mascot, the adorable liver shaped plushie. The Heppy plushes were traded after that, like Olympic pins at World Cups every 4 years after that.
Wow,
Heppy.
Hey, someone should make a pin. I'd wear it.
So, yeah, he has hand, foot, and mouth disease, which was weird until I found out that it's caused by the Coxsackie virus, which is great because I immediately said New York State.
I got arrested in that town.
Coxsackie, New York.
Yeah, for real.
Okay.
I hate that place. Every time I drive up 87, I give the big finger to that sign. True story. I was 19 years old. It wasn't for anything.
Did you name the virus after this in a fit of pique?
No. No, but now I'm having flashbacks to the whole thing, and I don't like this place I'm in right now. My internal monologue is going crazy.
So
really
is his autoimmune system.
Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, your son is not feeling well, and... I
hardly find it funny.
Right, here's it's great. I'm really sorry about that. No, he's okay. Right? He's okay.
I hope so.
He's just a little itchy.
He's not at the is he here tonight, Gerard? No, he's not here.
Jerry, say one of
you. We would have heard crying earlier.
I had an accident that happened while we were on the juice cleanse that my fiance ended up feeding me twice the dosage of B complex in a night that really scared her more than I, because I was like, it's a vitamin, what's it gonna do? Then I Googled it, and if you can overdose on vitamin B and it's real bad for you, you get nerve damage and all sorts of stuff.
However, there is one vitamin B that you can overdose on, and that's riboflavin.
Oh.
Is it not?
I don't know. Is that vitamin B? Is riboflavin vitamin B?
Kay, I was kind of leaning on you for this one.
I don't believe that. It is? Okay. Well, I didn't eat enough of that, but it was a B complex, so there's probably some riboflavin in this pill.
And you need it for the events taking place this weekend.
Right. Yeah. We turn the clocks back. Yes. It's time travel. Time travel stuff. You're getting into the Pete and Pete thing. I get it.
Moving on.
We were on that TV show together. Do you know that? Yeah.
If it's not on mobile, I haven't seen it.
But it's, no, yeah, it's not. It's not. No, we haven't seen any of those residuals.
Wait till they
come
buy
in.
Viacom, I yeah guess.
But in a panic, she called the poison control because she thought that we were going to die or something. So I, for the first time probably ever, I don't think I've ever tried to make myself vomit, but I had to stick my finger down my throat because I was thought that I was going to get sick. But you haven't eaten anything in 3 days, so there's nothing in there. It's terrible. I popped my blood vessels in my eyeballs and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, it was terrible. The big kicker was, though, you should have called poison control before you told me to stick my finger down my throat to vomit, because poison control said, you're going to pee it out. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. Get some sleep. Yeah, not fun. But, shit happens.
I thought you making yourself vomit was the genesis of this podcast. Remember,
that's just there's a difference between vomiting and regurgitating.
No, I walked out. You know, I walked out of the park. I'm wearing my soccer stuff. In between two cars, there's you leaning over.
Oh, God, don't tell this story.
Dehydrated as hell.
The good old days.
Yeah, I ran into Mike playing soccer outside of a McCarran pool, and I wasn't feeling very well because I was probably booze sick.
And you proceeded
showed him that I was booze sick. Yeah.
The only way you knew how?
Through
projecting.
Yes. Well, because I have a background in acting, so I was projecting.
Right.
I did do some theater work at Circle in the Square Theater. You have to project in that room. It's very hard.
So that, I think, got the ball rolling towards where we all are now, right?
That's great.
The vomit.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremy, can we move along?
Yeah, I was just waiting for an end for that story.
Yeah, you've been really quiet.
I have, yeah. Well, I'm thinking about my own dumpster diving stories and vomit stories. Actually, the two podcasts ago, I talked about vomiting in the ocean. Underwater, which is like a...
Yeah, while we were swimming next to him. That's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, that was weird.
No.
I leave early.
Yes, it is true, but I made sure to move my body downstream or whatever that's
called. Yeah, but not our bodies.
Downstream. The water goes back and forth in the ocean, you know what I mean?
No. I'm telling you that the undercurrent
was
strong.
Oh, it was definitely downstream, yeah. You ever heard of riptide,
very
man?
Strong. All right, so yeah, let's move this along. How about that?
Please move it along.
Speaking of acting and having a background in that such thing, we usually pull videos from when these young men were even younger, and we thought maybe we'd show them if you guys want to take a look at them. What do you think? All right, Tamborelli, you're up first. You ready?
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Works. No veil magic you can master in minutes.
This, my friends, is clean cut. I will magically cut a solid piece of rope and put it back together.
Give me that. It's real.
Watch closely. I place the rope into this magical holder, cut.
Just cut.
And magically restore it like new.
Wow! That's unbelievable!
That's impossible.
That's right. It's magic.
Clean cut comes with everything you see here. Other tricks in the Magic Works collection sold separately.
It's magic!
Wow. Well, you can tell that I had not gone through puberty at that point in my life. I don't know. Well, I went through puberty 4 years ago, so...
Do the math.
Yeah. I don't know. I was probably 12. We shot that in a pizza parlor in Hoboken, New Jersey.
I got paid in pizza.
And you know what? That tough guy kid that pulled that string was like, it's real.
He worked.
He was
there.
A real tough guy. He was a real prick, that kid. If I remember,
you don't really
remember
have to,
correctly.
You don't have to denigrate Aldo, okay? He was the son of the delivery guy, and he was hanging out in the pizzeria with nothing to do. Did you realize that he was in eighth grade and he was 19?
I didn't. I didn't notice that.
So
I just remembered him being really nasty to me. Like, he thought I was, you know, he was too cool for school to hang out with me just because, you know.
He was too school,
I was
cool
the,
for school. He dropped out.
I was the principal in that commercial, you know?
He
should have been respecting me.
Like Jim Belushi, the principal?
No, you know, like a principal actor.
Oh, so I thought you meant like riding your motorcycle.
He's been out
up
a long time.
Maybe you heard I don't do shines no more.
I don't shine shoes no more, yeah.
So my question after watching all these is, did you get to keep the magic toy?
No, I didn't get to keep the magic toy. I know.
You're pretty.
It was a crappy thing.
That's
it
impossible.
It was a real. No, it's not impossible. It's magic.
It's magic.
It's pretty good.
You actually, you can still hit that note.
It's pretty good.
When are you going to go through puberty?
I was going to say, if you listen to the podcast at double speed, Dan actually does all that dialogue from the commercial.
That's true. Very true. But yeah, so didn't get to keep the toy. That kid was a prick. It was Hoboken Pizzeria. And, you know, it's forever on YouTube.
There was a time.
So everyone can look at it and laugh at me.
There was a time in kids' lives when they just... They deliberately wore hats backwards.
True. It's very true.
They didn't like put it on forwards and then, you know, swivel it around. See, I'll try it this way. They put it on backwards from the beginning and then walked out of the house. I did that.
You still do it.
What?
Don't lie. I've seen you walk around like that. Yeah, see? I've caught him.
It's the last
in
time
his
I,
own lie.
It's the last time I sublet from you.
Well, Michael, do you want to see yours?
Yeah, I think it's time to switch gears. Who wants to see Mike's video?
Okay.
All right, well, here we go.
I don't know if I want to see this.
All right, come with me.
I remember this.
All right, Mr. P, you ready to start?
Show me email.
Okay, let's light this candle.
I want to see eBay.
Yeah. Just like that. You're riding the wave of the future, my man. Now, what do you feel like buying?
I want to buy a smoked ham.
Excellent choice. Right, you're there. You're almost there. How many are you going to buy?
Wait a minute.
What's the problem? Chicken?
What does it cost?
Name your own price, my man.
Oh, well, we're stocking for winter.
Let's do it. Yahtzee. All right, you did it, my man.
Give it up for Michael C. And the former president Bill Clinton.
You don't have to give it up.
Did he ad lib Yahtzee, or was that my one big question?
They scripted a lot of that stuff.
Did they script your dance?
They haven't invented a notation for that dance yet. You can't put that in print.
Wait, is that the SNL guy dance? Is that the Gilbert? No.
You felt I was doing an
wow.
Ed. You thought I was doing
Ed
Grimley?
Ed.
Yeah, there you go.
You thought I was doing an Ed Grimley.
You had a bit of Ed Grimley in there.
Not bad.
A bit of constipation in there.
I just didn't think he needed to constantly reassure himself like Ed Grimley. I think the characters are totally different. But I guess it's in the eye of the beholder.
Michael's stolen a lot of stuff from a lot of people over the years.
I stole Dan's great line from Pete and Pete, let's light this candle. I think he says it in the Nightcrawlers episode. Right? Do you say to the Nightcrawlers
yeah,
episode?
Totally. So I remember every line from every episode that I ever said.
This was 1998. I remember every line you ever said.
That's true. He's got a really freakish memory.
This was 1998, and we hadn't done Pete and Pete for a couple of years, and I was in college, and this commercial we shot in Tarrytown.
It wasn't the White House? Spoiler alert, dude.
Wait, is that true?
No. We shot the commercial in Tarrytown. This was in the White House.
Oh, thank God.
White House thing was like a parody of the commercial.
Right. Oh, right.
Because this is his actual.
Yeah, I went to the White
correspondence
House.
Correspondence dinner.
It was weird. It was really weird.
Well,
Can you
outer monologue your inner monologue that you're remembering right now?
So many.
Is this
guns.
A podcast? You
there's
know?
Like no. There's like helicopters going. It's like a good night cycle.
You want to see helicopters? I'll show you helicopters.
Karen.
This has turned into a Goodfellas podcast.
I think we've covered this already. All of the things, but I definitely remember getting a sandwich for free and then the president's dog eating it.
Wow.
How did that work out? I would like the story.
It worked. I mean, we each got half. It was parody. I left it on a chair that was at his eye level. I have this thing with dogs. I famously fed dogs by mistake. Went to a cookout and I had brought like all these singles, not just slices of cheese, but singles.
Kraft singles?
I don't know if they were a brand name, but they were singles, and I brought them out to the grill.
Could be a Brandy Hayes.
Grill.
Could be
a Brandy Hayes.
I did a Kraft singles commercial. That's why I brought it up.
Speaking of,
every time I have to say that.
I left them there instead of putting them on the hamburgers, and a golden retriever was very happy. I fed the dog all the
golden
cheese.
Retrievers.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
What if it was like an ugly dog? Would people still said, "Oh"?
Well, it was Kraft Singles, so it was crap cheese anyway.
Let's give them a round of applause for their old videos. How about that?
That had nothing to do with anything. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And before we move on to our guest, we do have one more video to show.
Wait, what do you mean you have one more video?
Got one more video. I thought maybe you find folks would want to see. You want to see it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Going home feels good. Going home feels good. Man, I can't wait to get home. Gonna order a pizza pie for me, myself, and I. Man, I can't wait to get home. Mr. Traffic Light, get ready, get set, green. Get ready, get set, green.
Get ready, get set,
green. Get ready, get set, green.
Green. All right, Mr. Traffic Light. Get ready. Get set. Green.
Maybe it's broken. All clear on the western front. So why don't we eat this puppy back into neutral.
Hey, that just saves driving, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Why are you trying to kill my soul?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get him on the stage, our guest, Mr. Damian Young.
He'll fix that for
welcome,
you.
Welcome.
Hi, Damian.
Wow, that was great to watch. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Oh, you do really well doing scenes. You don't always need another actor to work with, and that was That was a really good example of that.
I hate working with other people.
They are the worst. I was an actor for a long time, and I got into documentaries because I hate actors.
You have to listen to them and react, and it's just not good.
Who wants to react? Really?
Yeah, I'd rather just act. Yeah, we could see your breath in that clip. Was it cold on the bus?
Yeah, I guess. I know, I forgot. It was really cold towards the end of the seasons, right? I mean, it was, and then there was something outside when I tried to change the traffic light, or I don't know. I just remember, like, having to be outside, and I think there was pizza at the end.
Definitely pizza. Ooh. I remember the pizza, mostly. Yeah. I always remember the pizza.
Yeah, mostly I just know about pizza.
My God, I have such an enormous chin. I really use that to existential angst effect there.
was that Spiller or Inwood?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
That was John Inwood.
Was that John Inwood?
Yeah, that was the last season. But interesting story, of course, that's one of the days where I scratched John Inwood's cornea with an ice ball, so...
Oh, wow.
Well, last episode.
Never good to scratch a DP's cornea.
Yeah, because that was the last episode of the show, right? That was Saturday?
Yes. Is that what it was?
I don't know.
It was Saturday.
It was the last episode of the season.
So
all the seasons.
I remember that we finished the show with a substitute director of photography, Mott Hupfeld, because I scratched John Inwood's eye with a ice ball.
Like, I'm glad that you remember it, because
he's Damien's height. He ducked into it. I threw it at his waist and he ducked into it.
Well, it was his fault then.
Thank you.
You're totally fine. The union covers that.
Your own guy sold you out, Inwood. I'm sorry. Your own fellow tall guy.
Did you have to learn how to drive the bus?
Did
they make you put it into gear ever?
I don't. No, I didn't drive that bus. I couldn't have done. I couldn't have figured out.
Hey, I was a young kid. I thought it was all movie magic to me,
dude,
man.
just the diameter of that steering wheel would have blown your mind. I mean, the thing was like out to here. They did all those shots where Damien's just like,
right. No, there's no way I drove that, especially with you guys. No, on board. Or anybody.
It was the early 90s. I mean, the social workers were really not always there. It was. things could happen. They weren't really sure exactly what had happened.
I mean, the bus moved.
It did move.
Okay.
You did put it into gear in that shot, but
was there like a mock-up of a bus? No,
that was a real bus that just sat on the street for days upon days.
Did the shiny, happy people sort of moving the cranking
really,
scenery.
Really pissed off the neighbors, particularly on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I happen to know that you have to have a license, a driver's license, to drive a bus, obviously. But if you want to have kids in that bus, you have to have a CDL.
It's a third license. You have to have a driver's license.
And being an actor doesn't supersede all that?
No. Well, I mean, it's a good point. Maybe it should.
It's a CDL if you want to.
A lot of laws.
Is there, you have a card or something you can flash? Or you just show that clip, I guess, when you just be like, no, I've been in a bus before. No.
Totally.
Video business card. This wow. It's me. Damien does. I'm really on a lot of pressure here, Damien, because of your most perfect interviewer character from Kate Berlant's The Characters for Netflix. It was my favorite of the last few years. Of you interview. I always feel so much pressure trying to interview somebody because I'm always thinking about your interview of Kate Berlant from that part.
That was fun. I mean, there, she improv. Well, there was a script, which she did not even begin to do.
So it's kind of it was a decoy, in other words.
Well, I guess so. And I guess the thing with stuff like that is you feel like I'm the guest, so I'm just going to stick to the script. And then when we go off, we go off. So we went off immediately, but she wrote the thing, and so she had many, many drafts tucked away in her head that she could draw upon to, you know, improv the thing. And I didn't have anything.
Didn't share any with you.
No, no. So, of course, I'm sure what cut together was basically the script. That usually happens is let's have a little fun for an hour and a half and then do what we got in the first. So, I don't know.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's made Michael very tepid.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Timid, not tepid. I'm warmer than that. No, it's really one of my favorites. Of course, Henry Zebrowski's is great too.
Yeah, Henry's is really good.
There's a few in there that are really good, but yeah, there's a lot of pressure on when Damien's interviewing her and she's so weird.
Yeah, she's weird. No, I mean
the best.
She's super funny.
I think people love Damien because he's able to play himself in all these different roles. Okay, now we're getting really analytical.
No. Oh, you want to break down the craft?
I think for me, it starts with the process. It starts with the process.
Well, it's process. It's craft.
It's the art.
Yeah, it's the art.
A-R-T. Right? It comes down when we make it to.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You guys, I don't know. What do you think? Do actors always play themselves? Or?
I was 7 to 13 years old. I'm not really sure. I wasn't completely developed yet, so... Basically, Will and Chris and whoever else was writing was basic, you know, was shaping
human
my life in that moment.
Modeling.
In real time.
Inedible Play-Doh. You know,
I would go back to public school and try to fight and, you know.
So your real lives were playing the real people that were developed for you when you're on TV.
This is the first free therapy session I've ever had.
I mean, if you'd like to get
into that.
Thank
you so much.
It's like I'm growing inside of a
therapy for years. I can help.
It's like the old West world and I'm growing inside of a plastic mold that I'm trying to.
Yeah, I had a few more years before I started acting, so, you know, I had something to bounce off of, but, you know, I don't know.
As a young striver coming out of Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio.
Wow. Nice.
I told you I have a good memory.
Wow.
Is it a good memory or is it an IMDb check?
No,
I don't think it's. I don't know.
Damien, they have
all those fun facts on IMDb. Like, no, you Damien went to this knows college.
That he. Damien knows that he told me that once five years ago,
and I didn't graduate, so it's probably on no record anywhere. So.
Wow, you guys are the same.
But now you all know. Drop out.
You would do some theater back in the day?
Did some theater. Continue to do the theater. It's my roots. I'd like to get back to it. I'm doing a play right now, and my character's name is Stu.
Whoa.
I don't have a last name, so I always imagine.
Yeah.
It's Benedict.
I would think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of plays in college and, you know, came to New York, so. That's how you do it, I guess. I don't know what people do now. They get on their social media and become influencers.
Hey, that's another word. Influencers.
We'll have a 3D star soon who just like started doing 3D, and that's how they broke into plays after that.
Really? I don't know. Do people go from being an influencer to doing off-Broadway? I don't think that happens.
Sometimes, on rare occasions.
I'm pretty sure it goes influencer, thought leader, disruptor, and then president.
And then off-Broadway. Actually, that's what I thought when I first came to New York. I thought, the only way I can get a really good part in an off-Broadway play was to become a TV star.
I was thinking drug addict, but I get it.
So it didn't quite work out that way. But, you know, there were a lot of stars doing off-Broadway when I was coming up. So anyway, that's what I thought.
But how did you end up in Law & Order? Somebody's going to see you in a play somewhere.
You know what I mean? You just have to be a New York City resident at some point, and you get to be on Law & Order.
Nonsense.
It just happens.
I see at least 25 people here who have not been in Law & Order.
Yet.
I don't know.
Well, they're not trying hard enough, Michael.
I get It's there. It's not like The Office has moved the last 20 years, guys. It's a stationary target.
You know? I guess it must be the same in Chicago now. Everybody is in Chicago helping people. Shows.
Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire, yeah. Chicago Hope, and then Chicago Social, which is the newest one.
The Chicago Social?
No, they cut the government there, so there's no social work.
It is a bankrupt state. Well, we just lost the state of Illinois.
Wow.
They stopped listening to the podcast.
You could do things with film like the intercut between Damien and the red light that it's tough to do in the theater the same way.
Yes. And my wife and I were just talking about that this morning.
What? And one of the best examples of Damien not needing anybody any humans to interact with is in Amateur, where he really loves a soda machine. Has anybody seen this scene? I have.
I know what you're talking about.
Am I the only one in the room who's watched Damien Young love the soda machine in the
there
film
was no
Amateur?
Cry of recognition.
Man, well, an email will go out tonight for all of you who bought tickets in advance because we have your email address.
We got DVD. Yeah, we got DVDs for everybody.
How hard?
You didn't need people. There was just like a soda machine and your body.
I had a little thing with pizza and the soda machine and a cigarette afterwards.
God, it's like a perfect
as you do
Trinity. Yeah, it's a Manhattan Trinity right there.
That's true. Was it true that it used to be that a pack of cigarettes was always the same price as a slice of pizza?
No, it was a subway ride.
Oh, okay.
You can't, but they don't tax the subway. I guess the subway is taxed. You just have to wait an hour to take a half-hour trip. You don't pay it the same way.
Interesting hypothesis.
Wow, no, that's like time or something.
Well, cigarettes are like $20. The subway fare is still $2.75, but what it costs you is in panic.
In time, I see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes, Damien, it takes a minute or two to understand what Mike's saying, but he usually comes around 80%
years.
Of the time.
I thought you were commodifying time, and I was interested in where you were going to go with that. But
We'll work on that for next time. You're thinking about it, though.
I guess we do get to do this once more this year.
Yeah, we do. We get to do it one more time this year, Michael. And Damien, you're welcome to come back
having a great time.
He's been our closest guest geographically.
Oh, yeah. I live in the neighborhood.
Between him and
I
Glazer.
Walked here.
So did you feel happy, sad, didn't really care, or you had feelings about working on a children's show when you first got on it?
Oh, man, I loved
it. Just curious.
And it didn't really have anything to do with children. It was Playland, you know. I got to be over the top ridiculous character on television. You don't get to do that. I mean, I got to do that a lot when I was doing my downtown fucked up theater, but not on TV. And it was, you know, from everybody, all the props people and the set dressing and Chris and Will, everybody was encouraging, like, no, be weirder.
There are a lot of downtown fucked up people on our show. Yeah.
We didn't hire anybody from above 14th Street, I think was the rule. Post 1990.
So, you know, I mean, just that scene we saw, I wouldn't be allowed to do that in any other venue that was recorded by a camera. So it was just too big and crazy. So, no, I loved it, man. That was great.
Well, we loved it, too.
Yeah. Oh, good.
You weren't the only one loving it.
Aw, thank you.
Wasn't it weird when you punched through that cake that had my face on it in that episode?
Oh, yeah. With the whisk.
Yeah. You had the whole...
Yeah, and then... that was fun.
You had the toque on, right? Did you have the toque on? The chefs.
And I had the whisk, and I had, it was, I uttered the bus driver's code, like courtesy.
See, respect.
Like timeliness.
Yeah.
Niceness or something. Because
Riboflavin.
Because you betrayed me.
And you called me a Judas. I remember you calling me a Judas.
Oh, and then I got to run through the neighborhood holding the whisk like it was an Olympic torch.
And you busted through the thing. Those were the days.
Yeah. Yeah. That
was great. We went back to South Orange to shoot a little short for Great Big Story, that CNN thing that they do. And they brought us back. They're like, how does it feel to be back?
Oh,
we're like, oh, this is kind of weird. And the people across the street from the house were pulling in, and they saw cameras looking at the
house. You're not going to be here all
and
day,
they,
are
she
you?
Like went right into she had PTSD. It was immediately you guys aren't going to be here forever, are you? Because you guys were terrible. I hated you. And went right into it.
It was as if the intervening 26 years never happened.
He told me he was going to give me money, and he didn't give me money, and all these things. And we were look, lady, we were kids. I had nothing to do with anything. Right. I'm just here because, this is a fun little gag.
I said to her, a small locations payment invested wisely in 1993 could be worth so much today. God, she was mad.
Yeah, she was mad. But then we got the other end of that where the
haunted house
was,
lady.
The haunted house that was next to the Wrigley house. She came out and she was like,
he wasn't in that episode.
You guys are great. It wasn't bad. She was just mad because she didn't speak up for herself. We had that town meeting, an emergency town meeting to talk about the show.
Three billboards
South
outside
Orange,
South
New
Orange.
Was
God, I had no idea. I just thought everybody loved that.
Yeah, I thought so. That's how I thought too.
We were
in a bubble.
We were liberators. Yeah, they gave
bubble.
Us flowers and.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
New Jersey's favorite son come home. That's you, Dan. That's not Damien. I don't think Damien's from New Jersey.
No, I grew up in D.C.
I remember having a talk with you in Del Marvelous.
Prime.
Respect the bay. Clean it up.
Yeah.
When I'm driving around the PA, Maryland, and I see that you're still in the Chesapeake watershed and you're 500 miles away, I don't understand how that works. But, it's very large, the Chesapeake Bay watershed. Okay.
They're fingers.
They go everywhere.
Up, yeah.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
This has been Danny's water moment.
Hey,
brought to you by.
I do a lot of driving these days.
How old were your kids when you met us?
I was trying to remember that. What was the first season? It was 1990.
I want to say 92, 91.
Then they didn't exist yet. My daughter was born in 95, so I think I was just childless for
well,
the
she
whole
was,
thing.
She was a child while you were having a face-off with the traffic light.
Maybe a baby.
She was an infant.
Oh, okay. Right. I don't know. I can't. Those are some early times with babies. I don't know. I don't remember any of that.
That's a blur. Did any of them have hand, foot, and mouth disease?
No.
Gosh.
When
yeah,
I heard
he needs
you say
some
that,
advice. I thought you were making that up.
No, I was sure that had been eradicated. I didn't know kids still got that.
Yeah, I thought, I don't know. Everybody seemed to confirm, no, that's a real thing. You better check that out. So, I don't know. I thought it was a big joke, but...
We used to shoot up our kids with coffee at that point. This was way back.
No, I didn't do that. Yeah. No, that's just your method. don't rope me into that. No, just a little bourbon on the teeth, too. Doesn't hurt, Get them, there goes right to sleep. That's how we did it.
You're going to have to learn these sort of tricks to get kids to stay up all night or go to sleep. Which one do you want them to do?
You want them to sleep as much as possible. Like what if you have a 16-hour day sleeper, that's what you want.
So a cat, basically. You want a cat. You want a cat or a sloth.
You want a hairless cat who can't move anywhere.
And is used to diapers.
That's all, yeah.
Yeah, you don't use kitty litter for the kid.
No, but, you know.
Did your kid get into kitty litter? Is that how he got hand, foot, and mouth?
I would assume that he got it from other hooves. The hooves of other
children?
Well, kids.
Mutants?
Yeah, baby goats that he was playing around with.
Jeez.
Interesting.
You're providing providing your son with an enriching environment, aren't you?
Yeah. It's compost
you
rich.
You can find a lot of stuff in Greenpoint.
Yeah. All right. This is an urban farm. I'll be back tomorrow.
Actually, his lead level is kind of high. We could abate that.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah, well, we took care of that in the 70s, right? Jeez.
Except for those landlords that haven't done anything about it since the 70s.
Landlords. Damn it.
In closing, the rent is too damn high. Damien Young. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Damien.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Damien Young.
Thank you. What is the name of the show, Damien?
Oh, yeah. Can you give us some plugs before you go? We need some plugs.
Let's get Damien Young back to the stage.
Damien Young! Damien Young!
It's a great show. It's written by Teresa Rebeck. It's called What We're Up Against. And it's set in 1992. It's gender politics in the workplace. And I play douchebag number one. So, and it's at the Women's Project. So if you want to check it out, just find the Women's Project website. And we open on Wednesday. So.
Very cool.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Damien.
Oh, thank you, Damien. Yes. Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Hey, thank you.
Mr. Michael C. Marona. And Mr. Damien Young.
Damien Young.
Yes. Come back,
you all.
Come back in December. December 3rd. We'll be back right now.
We have a producer, Jeremy.
Hello.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by Jeremy Balin. The podcast is part of the Feral Audio Podcasting Collective and can be found on their website at feralaudio.com. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter, at Danny and Mike with the and spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.